Today, our New Testament lessons come to us from two Gospels. One is the Gospel of Matthew.
And this particular passage from Matthew has been our guiding scripture throughout this four-week series we're doing called Living on a Rock. Hear these words of Jesus as recorded by Matthew. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Our second passage comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. Again, hear these words from Jesus. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." This is the word of the Lord.
One day late in August, a young boy who was soon to be a freshman in the high school was in Walmart when he saw the football coach. He ran over to the football coach and said, Coach, I'm so glad to see you. I want to join the football team. Coach said, "That's great. In fact, we have our first team meeting tomorrow." "Oh," said the boy, "I'm sorry, I can't make that meeting." Coach said, "Well, practice starts next week after school every day, 3 to 5:30. Practice for the team." "Oh," says the boy, "I'm sorry, I can't make any of the practices." Coach says, "Well, you know, the games are every Friday night. Every Friday night throughout the fall." The kid says, "You know, Coach, I'm really busy. I won't be able to make the games, but I really want to be on the team." We might say of such a boy, he's all talk. You know that phrase. Today, friends, we conclude our sermon series on Living on the Rock, as we've been talking for the last 3 weeks about how it is that Jesus calls us to live on solid foundations, things that stand, as opposed to building our lives on things that will not hold us, sand. And so today we conclude by thinking about how Jesus challenges the church and his followers to move from just talking to doing. From talking to doing. Now, we all know that words really are never enough. Ezekiel said this, speaking for God, hundreds of years before Jesus. He said, "My people come and sit before you to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain." He knew, as we do, words are never enough. Words are never enough in a marriage. Words have to be validated by deeds. Words are never enough in a friendship. Same thing. Friendship is cemented by what we do with our friends and for them. Words are never enough at work. You can't simply say to the boss, I'll get that project done," and not do it. Words are never enough. I read an article on vacation about words that this author says need to be deleted from all of your work emails. It's a very interesting article. The author said, remove these words from your work email. And the words are, only, just, sorry, and try. So they illustrated by saying, you don't want to say to your boss, "I only have a little time to work on that." You don't want to say, "It's just a small account." You don't want to say, "Sorry, I didn't finish the project sooner." You don't want to say, "I'll try to get the report done by Friday." You take those words out. Words are never enough. saw an advertisement for a hospital that was just so perfect in saying this. The hospital advertisement says, "Actions speak louder than awards." Actions speak louder than awards. It's excellent marketing because it tells the world they got an award, which they wanted to do. But it also says that's not enough, that our actions have to follow the words of an award. Our text today is a challenging one. You will be challenged by what Jesus says. Because here he is giving marching orders to those who say they want to follow him. The background is important. So the text that Deb read a moment ago from Luke is preceded by Jesus going off with his disciples alone. Luke is importantly telling us that there's no other followers, there's no other people with them. Because Jesus often had an entourage, if you will. But in this moment, it's just Jesus and the 12. And he says to them, "So who do people say that I am? What are they saying about me?" And they say, "Well, you know, some people think you're John the Baptist. Some think you're Ezekiel." And Jesus says, "Okay, who do you say that I am?" Well, not surprisingly, it's a loudmouth, impetuous Peter who speaks up first. He says, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." That's an important moment in Scripture. It's the first time that one of the disciples says what Jesus has been saying. He says, "Yes, I know who you are." Jesus has been implying, hinting, and even saying it. But now Peter says, "I know who you are." He gives words. Affirmation of faith, we might call it. But immediately thereafter, this is the point. Immediately thereafter, Jesus says these words. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." It's as if Jesus is saying, "Okay, Peter, okay, disciples, you're saying one thing. You're giving me words, but this is what you have to do. Words lead to deeds." And Jesus has never been satisfied with simply words. Always deeds must follow. There are expectations that Jesus lays out in this one-sentence sermon that he gives. Let's take a look at them. The first thing he says to the disciples, "If you want to be my follower," that's his prelude, "if anyone wants to be my follower, then first you will deny yourself." You will deny yourself. Now, most of us can do a little self-denial. In fact, we're coming up on the season of Lent. Lent is a season of repentance and self-denial. And the classic Lenten theme is to give up something. How many of you remember in years past, maybe still, but giving something up for Lent? Yeah, a lot. And I would commend that discipline to you. But too easily, that discipline became simply, "I'm going to give up chocolate, I'm going to give up desserts for Lent." It just became another way to have a diet. So if you're going to give something up for Lent, make it serious and make it meaningful. But Lent is that season. Self-denial, giving something up. Jesus expects us to deny ourselves something in order to follow him. Many, many years ago, when we were about to build Star Hall, what we came to call Star Hall, this is 1989, we were having to raise a lot of money, almost $1 million. And I was talking to lots of people about giving money, because that's what it takes. And by the way, a quick PS, let's never forget that whether it's this beautiful room, or Star Hall built in 1990, or Trinity House in 2008, that all of these facilities that we have, that we call our church, were made possible because of the giving and the self-sacrifice of people a long time ago. And so it was in 1989 that I was asking people to deny themselves some things in order to give money so that we could build that building. And a lot of other people did that work too. And of course, the building got built. But one of the letters I sent to someone in the community always stayed with me. I sent a note to a person, not a member of this church, but someone who was very, very sincerely caring for this church and new people and knew me. So I sent a letter inviting him, a senior citizen, to contribute to helping to build the building. And I'll never forget his reply. He sent my note back with a little note on the side, and it read, "Thank you for inviting me to participate. I have been needing to get a new car for a long time, but it can wait a while longer." And a generous check was in that envelope. After that, every so often, I would see this person driving up and down Main Street in their old car, and I would be reminded of the self-denial in order to help build God's church. What is something that you want for yourself in the next couple of months? You want to go to a movie. You want to go to a show. Maybe you want to have a dinner at a nice restaurant. Maybe a mini vacation. Maybe you want to go visit a family member. What's something you really want to do? Seriously, think about it right now. What's something you really want to do in the next couple of months? Now, if Jesus knocks on your door and says, "I need you to do something else when you wanted to do that, so I don't want you to do that. I want you to do what I want to do," would you do it? Seriously. That is what self-denial is about. When what we want takes second place to what Christ wants. And that's the beginning step, Jesus says, of being my disciple, is self-denial. He then ratchets it up. The next expectation he lays on those who want to call themselves disciples is to die to yourself. So self-denial is kind of the first step. Then he gets a little more serious. Die to yourself. Because he says, take up your cross. You see, in the Bible, when Jesus talks about the cross before his crucifixion, he's always talking about death. His coming death and death as a concept. The cross becomes a symbol of death before it becomes a symbol of life. Take up your cross. Jesus is asking, will you die to yourself? And that's much more serious. It's a higher price. In Florida last week, I was sitting on a boardwalk near a concession stand. I was working on this message. And as I sat there, I looked out and I saw beautiful beach, beautiful water. It's just very, very lovely. And then I saw a man come over to the concession area right next to me. I was 10 feet away. Concession area was selling things for the beach. You can kind of tell. There's a picture of it on the right. And then this man, a senior citizen in his bathing suit, walks over to the one area where there's hanging what I would call some sand sifters. Kind of a homemade device. You want to go down the beach and pick things up, right? And there's pictures there. He takes one of these off, and he's kind of looking at it, and then he walks over to me, just a few feet away, where I'm sitting at a table. And he hands it to me. And he says, "Can you tell me how much this costs? I can't read this." So I look, and sure enough, I found a little sticker, $18.99. So I handed it back. I said, "Sir, this is $18.99. And he goes, "Oh, no, 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 that's too much." And he hung it back up. Friends, that is what often our response to Jesus is. He asked us to do something, and we go, "Oh, no, 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 the price is too high." All the time, we put it back on the shelf. But Christ says, if you want to be my disciple, first you deny yourself, but then you have to take it up. I'm going to ask you to die to yourself, to sacrifice. And he would elsewhere say, I gave my life on the cross so that you might know the truth of God. Can you not sacrifice something for me? Can you not die a bit for me? And we often say, no, I don't think so. It costs too much. But Jesus moves on with his disciples gathered. He says, I want you to deny yourself. I want you to die to yourself. And then in that one phrase, I want you to follow me. I want you to devote yourself to me. I want you to devote yourself to me. So think about this. What are you devoted to? Think about it. What are you devoted to? Maybe you're thinking, I'm devoted to my spouse. I'm devoted to my family. Some might say, I'm devoted to my work. What are you devoted to? You see, to be devoted to something is for a much longer period of time. Here Jesus is saying, yes, I want you to deny yourself. I want you to die to yourself very deeply and seriously. But then I want you to do it over time. I want you to follow me. I want you to be devoted to me over time. Paul would write about this when he wrote to the church in Corinth. Very concerned that people lose their enthusiasm for Christ, he wrote to them, I'm concerned that your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Oh, that's us. We've got all kinds of things to pull us away from our devotion to Christ. In Florida, I couldn't quite believe what I was reading. It was the front page news of a small town newspaper last week that I read about a woman who got on the front page because, get this, she has amassed a collection of banana stickers. 20,000 of them. Now, bananas are big in Florida. And please, I try not to judge, but I'm thinking, what? Scrapbooks filled with little stickers. You know, you get one per banana. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But that is what she's devoted to. It's taken a long time. Yes? It's easy to get diverted from our devotion to Christ. And this culture invites us, challenges us, pulls us, tempts us to be devoted to all kinds of things that are equally less important than the things of Christ. If you want to say, I'm your disciple, devotion. When I got to Florida, my sister had rented a car for me for 4 days. I was going to travel a little bit. I asked her to rent a small compact car, just going to be traveling a couple hundred miles. That's all I needed. So she drives me on Tuesday over to the car rental place, whose name will remain anonymous. And I go in. You've done this. Give him my name. I have reserved a car. Oh, yes, Mr. Fowler. Look at the computer a little bit. I'm sorry, we don't have a small compact car like you have reserved. And then the young man says, would a pickup truck do? Now, I'm just too easygoing. I'm figuring a little Toyota pickup truck, I can handle that for 200 miles, 4 days, no big deal. I say yes. Come on out. He leads me to the largest pickup ever made. A Dodge Ram 1500 Hemi engine. I don't even know what a Hemi engine is. And some of you have this. And I say, okay. I needed help getting up in the seat. But I read it, did fine, take it back. When I walk in on Friday to take the car back, a different person, a young lady, give her the key, etc. How was our service? And I go, And then she says, well, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest, how would you rate us? I rate our service. And I said, well, I'd give you a 3. And really took her aback. And she said, only a 3? How come? I said, you didn't give me the car I wanted. And then she said, right out of the training manual for good salespeople, what can we do to make that 3 a 5? And I've thought about that question. In terms of your devotion to Jesus Christ, what number would you give yourself? If 5 is the highest, in terms of your devotion to Jesus Christ, what would your number be? And what would it take to be where Christ wants it? A 5. When Hernando Cortes in 1519 was given the task by the Spanish king to go and to conquer a region of Mexico. Boats went, and he had orders to conquer this region. When he got there, he knew it was going to be a difficult battle. Several large boats with hundreds and hundreds of soldiers offloaded and went up on the sand. And then Cortez sent a man back to each of the boats. And the orders were to burn them. He burned every one of his boats as his men stood there shocked. And he said, we're either going to be victorious or we're going to die. But we are not going back. Jesus is asking, are you willing to burn the boats in your commitment, in your devotion? One other article I read this week was about commitment. Such articles always capture my attention, whatever industry or business or field they're from, because commitment is what the essence of our faith is about. It's what we're talking about today. In this article, they gave 3 wonderful examples. 3 examples of commitment. And the first was the weekend warrior. Now, in our culture, people, not always men, but often, who have been athletes when they were younger, get a little older, maybe 20s, 30s, or 40s, but still love the sport, and every once in a while, they feel like going out and having some fun in the sport they used to play. They're out of shape. They're not up to date with anything. They just all of a sudden want to go out and play the game. Game of soccer, game of football, game of basketball. We call them weekend warriors because they can go out whenever they want. And what usually happens, they go when they feel like it, but what usually happens is after a little while, sometimes not too long, they get tired. They get injured. And guess what? They go home. Their commitment is about as long as it takes to pay a little price and then not so much. Second example in this article was about the camp follower. Comes out of the Civil War era. Camp followers in the Civil War era were people, sometimes family members of the soldiers, but not often, who traveled with the soldiers. Sometimes they did it to help a little bit, maybe take care of one of their young men, their brother or father who was in the war, so they'd maybe cook for him, or maybe help with a wound, or maybe sew his clothing. But the campfire followers were interesting. This article talks about the campfire followers would go and would stay for a little while and do what they wanted. But any time they could leave, they weren't the soldiers. They weren't fighting the battle. Oh, they were helping a little bit on the side. But camp followers at any given moment might just say, yeah, I'm just going home now. And the third example they gave is from gambling. Now, I don't gamble, I don't believe in it, but it's a great illustration. Because the illustration goes back to the Old West, and you've seen some of this portrayed on Western TV shows. So imagine a poker game. A bunch of cowboys are at a circular table, and they're betting, they're playing poker. And then one of them gets a great hand. I mean, it's an absolute winner hand. No way this hand is going to lose. And the guy with the hand is all out of money. No more money to bet, but he wants to. So he pulls out a piece of paper. And it's the deed to the ranch. And he says, I'm betting the ranch. These days, they don't have ranches to bet. The term is all in. If you're at that table, you got a hand, you know it can't lose. You're all in. Everything you've got, anything and everything, is all in for the bet. So, transferring that to what Jesus is asking about denying ourselves, dying to ourselves, being devoted. The question is, really, which are you? Are you the weekend warrior? Just every so often, yeah, I'll go out, try it for a while. When it gets just a little painful, no thanks. Are you the camp follower who wants to help a little bit? Maybe feels like you're doing something good, but then, you know, I got other things to do, I'm gone. Or are you all in? All in. That's the question of this Bible text when Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily and let him follow me. Camp follower? All in? Weekend warrior? Who are you? Let's pray. Lord God, it is very clear what you expect of us. Jesus' teaching considered here this day goes deep to our souls with truth. So help us, Lord, truthfully to look within, to consider our commitments, to take seriously Jesus' call to move from talking to doing. Help us, Lord, to move closer and closer to being all in. Amen.